radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
This is P.K. Subban of the Nashville Predators.
This is Philip Forsberg of the Nashville Predators.
Hi, this is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville.
Now, broadcasting live from high atop the WNSR Broadcasting Tower. And against all better judgment, it's time for Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all-skate around the NHL with all the news and updates you need.
Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
And now, here's your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saulnier.
It's time for another episode of Predneck Nation Radio. That's right, it's a Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. What, you thought 5 a.m. was the only time that we knew how to turn a microphone on and take over this fantastic radio station? Well, so be it. Here we are at noon, legendary Renegade of Puck in studio. I'll introduce him in just a moment, but for now, let's get things started. Of course, you can always check us out. Give us a like on Facebook. Give us a follow on Twitter at Predneck Nation. And in an on-demand world, you can always find us on iTunes and SoundCloud live at 5 on game days, unless we decide to do it at another time, like we're doing here today. Late night start in Vegas for the Nashville Predators as they'll close out the regular season series against what turns out to be one of the friendlier opponents, and I don't mean as far as physicality, I mean as far as points in the standings. The Nashville Predators, after 60 games played, 34-21-5, that's 73 points, second place in the Central Division, 2 points behind the Winnipeg Jets, who did the Preds a solid and lost the other day, keeping the division race close. Still, the Winnipeg Jets have played two fewer games than the Nashville Predators. As a matter of fact, the Preds have played the most games in the Central Division at this point. St. Louis in third place at 56 games played. That means 4 games less played than the Preds. 63 points, that 10 points behind, but 8 points still out there in limbo. And then you see Dallas, Minnesota, Colorado, Chicago, the rest of your Central Division standings. The Las Vegas Golden Knights, 59 games played. They are 31-24-4. That's good for 66 points. Third place in the Pacific Division. If they were in the Central Division, they'd be sitting in exactly the same spot. At home, they are 16-9-3, while the Nashville Predators on the road are 15-10-4. Goals against average, something I want you to be pointed to here. 155 goals given up by the Nashville Predators on the season. That is second best in the Western Conference. The Dallas Stars have given up the least amount of goals in the season at 146. St. Louis, we were just mentioning them a second ago. Watch out for them. 8-game winning streak, and we know two of those were against the Nashville Predators last weekend before going on and blowing out the New Jersey Devils, putting up an 8 spot, and continuing to find success. They have found a goalie, and they have found their momentum, and now they are coming hard, and there's no reason why they should fear the Nashville Predators after last weekend. The Vegas Golden Knights are currently on a 3-game losing streak in both of the regular season games so far this season between the Preds and the Knights. The Predators have won. It was on the 30th of October, the Preds with a 4-1 victory versus Vegas here in Smashville. UC Saros, 23 out of 24. Hartman gets on the board twice in that one. Arvidsson and Yarncroke won apiece, and the Preds scored 4 straight goals after falling behind 1-0. On the 23rd of January, the second meeting, the Preds went on out to Vegas and put on one hell of an effort out there as UC Saros got the start again, and why not? 47 of 48, Johansson and Bonino with a goal each, and this game most memorable for the PK Subban bite incident, which I'm sure we will get into quite a bit here with Mastrodamus in just a little bit. Both of these games between the two teams, the Preds fell down 1-0 before running off significant goal streaks and winning these games. Both Vegas goals in this series this regular season have come in the first period. NHL ranked power play 20th for Vegas, 5th on the PK, 16th in goals for, 2.93 in goals against. They are 7th at 2.83, while the Nashville Predators still hold the worst power play in the NHL, ranked 31st out of 31 clubs, 11th on the penalty kill, 12th in goals for, 3.07, and goals against, they are 4th at 2.57. Injuries not too significant. Salamaki still on IR but skating. game. We do not know when he will officially come off of injured reserve. Mattias Ekholm missed the last game with an illness, so he is officially listed as day-to-day, but I would not be surprised if he gets back in the lineup very, very soon. On the Vegas side for injuries, Holden's on IR on the defensive side of things. Center Peary is out day-to-day, and Nosek also out day-to-day. For the Preds, Tuesday night at Dallas, that wraps up a quick two-game road trip, and then some teams that are well behind the Preds in the standings and an opportunity to pick up a few points. Thursday versus LA, the 23rd versus Colorado, and the 25th versus Edmonton before heading off to St. Louis again. Central Division, everybody but Minnesota on the ice today, so pay attention. St. Louis is at Colorado, Ottawa's at Winnipeg, Dallas is at Carolina, and Columbus is at Chicago. Here to talk all things Nashville Predators hockey with me. We're going to blow off the game recap today. We're going to get right into the conversation. He is a legendary renegade of puck. He has been a part of this radio show plenty of times in the past, and I am so thankful to have him here in studio with me. He is, of course, Dan Bradley, formerly of On the Forecheck, and of course on Predneck Nation Radio, and he is here to help me out today, get through this episode of Predneck Nation Radio. So, Dan, welcome to the studio. It's great to see you back in again.
Definitely great to be here. I know Nashville's got a lot going on downtown today with the voice tryouts. We both were affected by that in different ways, but just, my goodness, I mean, this is a heck of a morning already. We talked about, like, accidents all over the interstate, just personal health, both of us kind of fighting through that, much like our team.
It's not been a fantastic day. By the way, like 10,000 people lined up down on Fifth Avenue and down to Munbury for the voice tryouts this morning. And to hear all of them singing at one time, all very poorly, it's no wonder why my brain is hurting as much as it is.
They made everybody sing at once, like one just like a warm-up song together?
I think they just kind of spontaneously started doing that. They were just kind of like grouping together and singing along to different things.
Locals know this. It's kind of like when you're in like one of the, like the clubs, like the Stage or the Wild Horse, and just every line dance turns into the electric slide.
It really did have that feel out there this morning, and Bongo Java at the Omni Nashville Hotel was just overflowing with people trying to stay warm and get some coffee. So it's been a heck of a morning. So we decided to come on in and do Predneck Nation Radio at noon because, Dan, why not? A Predneck takeover is only a takeover when it takes something over, right?
Yeah. What's on the calendar normally at this time?
Who cares?
Probably CBS.
Yeah.
It's not Pharrell on the bench, is
network.
It?
It's network stuff.
Network stuff.
And network stuff is not my kind of stuff. Nashville Predators, Dan, we haven't had a chance to talk about them in quite some time. On the season, they're sitting in second place in the Central Division. They've played 60 games now, which means they've got 22 regular season games to go, including tonight in Vegas. 73 points has them 2 points behind Winnipeg, but it's a good thing the Central Division is not nearly as strong this year as it was last year, because when you look over the Eastern Conference, you could easily be 15 points behind like teams are with Tampa, but Winnipeg is allowing the Preds to stay in this thing so far, and even though it's been a tough couple of months with the injuries and then just with some mediocre play as of late, the Nashville Predators are still within striking distance of the top of the Central Division.
Definitely so. I mean, Colorado, you can argue whether or not they've taken a step back or taken a step forward. St. Louis didn't find out who their goalie was until this year, until actually much later in this year. They found that Bennington's an upgrade over Jake Allen, who Jake Allen sounds like he should be the opening act on a country tour. And you've got Chicago kind of still spiraling, doing their thing. Minnesota's the weird case because that's a team that has a lot of tradable assets right now. We're even hearing rumblings for guys like Eric Staal maybe on the move. He's already submitted his no-trade list. He could do that team a solid because he's on an expiring contract. He's only $3.5 million salary this year, so he's a guy that if I'm Nashville and if I strike out guys like Duchesne, Stone, Eric Staal would be a fine choice up there. But you've got plenty of teams that are either drastically underperforming like Minnesota, and you could argue Colorado, or teams that are starting to turn around like St. Louis. Problem with the Predators right now is I think they're just coasting. I mean, they just feel like the guy who's, well, I don't know if I'm going to get that promotion or not. I think I'm just going to kind of play out the string until the playoffs start, and we'll see what happens. There's plenty of bean to pick with as far as what's going on with this team, though. You can tell on the ice that this team doesn't quite either have it all right now, or they're trying things and it's not quite working. When you look at the just simple possession numbers, like who's throwing shots at the net, the Predators are actually fifth in the league in that as far as throwing more shots towards the net than the other team. As far as shots attempted, that's all fine and great. When they're ahead, it's a below-average number. That's a team right now that is not putting the foot on the gas, does not have the killer instinct, and to me that comes down to your depth scoring. It's not there right now.
Dan, it was almost 2 years ago. I looked it up, and you were a part of that show. It was on the 26th of February in 2017 that we closed the show by saying that the Nashville Predators had no killer instinct. They were hovering just outside of eighth position for the wild card, and it would take a little bit of work getting down through the last 20 games to get that eighth seed. And then we all know what would happen in 2017 as they would go on to get the number one seed, Chicago Blackhawks, sweep them and make a run all the way through the Western Conference Final to their first ever Stanley Cup final berth. So we've been here before with this Nashville Predators team, and coasting, casual, those are two really good, strong words that I think is indicative of the play on this team on the ice. And you've seen it. They had such a great start to the season, and then they had the injuries, but for the last month, everybody's been back on the ice, and it seems like coasting is exactly the word. They're really relying on the hot start that they had in the first month of the season, and it's basically been a 500 team ever since.
And they're playing like they're afraid to get injured right now. And that's not the way you can play against teams like Winnipeg, St. Louis, even to some extent Vegas, teams that have big bodies that will push you around in front of the net. There's not that willingness to drive the net. So guys like Brian Boyle that come in, who is, frankly, a dreadnought, who could just stand from to the top of the crease and be very effective, that makes sense. When it comes to the deadline, though, you look at the second line and the third line, and where's the depth scoring going to come from? Kyle Turris, nice guy, like him off the ice, has not played the role of a number two center on a contending team. He's not. That's frustrating. And you look at his contract, you're signed up for this for the next 5 years. You could say that Kyle Turris was a guy that was so effective in the playoffs against Sidney Crosby, the NHL had to alter the faceoff rules. That's how much he bothered him. We have not seen that pest level of Kyle Turris in his time in Nashville at all. Complete passenger last year after his hot, once his point streak stopped, passenger. That's frustrating.
I was going to say, when he first arrived, he was at a point per game clip for about the first 18 games that he was here. And since then, it's not only been a cool off, it's been a complete disappearance. And I understand there was an injury this season that had him out of the lineup. But this comparison, while probably unfair to almost everybody in the league, Kyle Turris has skated in 35 games this season. He has 6 goals, 18 total points. Victor Arvidsson skated in 36 games. He has 26 goals and 34 total points. Yes, that's an unfair comparison, but for Kyle Turris getting a chance to skate on a second line here with the Nashville Predators, 12 or 18 points, 12 assists is not going to cut it. He has a good shot. He should be scoring on the power play, and it's very unfortunate, Dan. That sign and trade, I thought, was a very good underrated sign and trade. However, after two seasons, I don't see it working out, and I want to go straight to it right here. There's an organization that loves Kyle Turris. There's an organization that would love to have him for 5 more seasons.
Have him or have him back?
Have him back is the perfect way to say it, and that is the Ottawa Senators. Now, of course, this is what everyone's talking about, so let's not beat around the bush or bury the lead.
Here I was like, Charlie, I got a really hot take for you.
I know you do.
We already know where this is going.
You've always got hot takes for me. So Kyle,
left that life behind.
Kyle Turris is a second line center by what people say. Well, if there's a deal to be made out there that seems to work out for two clubs, and it's the completion of a deal that's taken 2 years, it is perhaps Kyle Turris, a first-round draft pick and a prospect going to Ottawa, perhaps for Matt Duchene and Stone coming back. Ooh. It revitalizes the entire second line here, and while Kevin Fiala still has plenty of upside because of his youth, because of what we've seen in the past, fine. You want to trade Craig Smith instead? Trade Craig Smith instead. Stone is better than both of those wingers, and an instant improvement in both size, offensive capability, and goal scoring. And by the way, if not for Victor Arvidsson, Stone would come in here and be leading the team in goals immediately. So, Dan, what do you think about my proposition of Kyle Turris, like a first-round draft pick, and a prospect, whichever prospect that may be, up Fabro? To Ottawa to bring back those two players that are ready right now to step in and help you against the best teams in the West?
I'm all for that, especially if the prospect is Fabro. I mean, we've seen this movie too many times for Predators fans to get excited about Dante Fabro.
Oh, he's going to be joining the Predators when after his college season ends. Are you not triggered by hearing that?
I am.
Oh, goodness. That we've heard that way too many times.
I watched the Rangers play the other night and saw Jimmy Vesey, and then I heard that exact story all over again, and I started thinking, wow, we need to go down that road for a fourth, fifth, fifth, sixth time before somebody finally realizes that a prospect doesn't regard Nashville the way we do?
No, he just doesn't. I mean, it's we shouldn't take offense to it. I mean, the European players would love to play here. Guys who grew up in Boston, Massachusetts, or grew up in Minnesota don't want to come down here if they don't have to. Fabro should definitely be expendable. As far as, I mean, at the very bare minimum, a simple tourist for Duchesne swap should be at least be talked about. Because you can get Matt Duchesne on a deal that's probably around $7 million, maybe a little bit closer to $8 million for a comfortable term. And then you have a 1-2 center punch that's really something that compares to a contender, as opposed to Ryan Johansson's a good B-plus, you know, top-line center. I mean, if your A-plus is Connor McDavid, you know, be the kind of the next tier of Ryan Johansson, I think that's fair. It's not a slide against Ryan Johansson. That's just where the top end of number one centers are in the NHL right now. Where's Kyle Turris on the number two center list? Maybe a C-plus, maybe a B-minus, if
he's
that.
He's been replaced by Nick Bonino, who wasn't good enough to be the second-line center, which is why they had to trade for Kyle Turris. That tells you everything you need to know. Your backup plan has now been replaced by your original failure of a plan, so...
And full credit to Nick Bonino for the season he's had, though.
I have trashed and dragged Nick Bonino for almost 2 years since he's been on this team, and I absolutely have to give him credit for what he's done this year. He has worked incredibly hard. And also, Ryan Johansson, for being what you mentioned on your grading scale, a B-plus center right there, I've got to give him a lot of credit this year. He's not said a whole lot. He's gone out there every night and done his job. He has 42 assists on the season, 53 points. Sure, can he shoot the puck more often? Of course he can. He's got a great shot, but he's got 53 points in 58 games. Now, he slowed down for a little bit there with some of the injuries, but he was also one of the only players during that month stretch going out there shift after shift, night after night, and giving everything he had for this team. And that's a really, really great thing to see from Ryan Johansson. He's not a pretty boy first line center. He's actually a very hard working first line center, which at a B plus at times can easily, with that passing ability, can go up to an A.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's in the top 50 as far as points go. I mean, when's the last time we've been able to say that about a Nashville number one center?
Not many times.
Just for those keeping score at home, Matt Duchesne has one more point than him this year. Again, that's a good 1-2 punch. And it gives Ottawa something that they have to have, and that's stability. This is a team that can't figure out where they want to play. They're talking about moving out of Kanata, which is like the Predators playing in Mount Juliet. They've got a mess with attendance. The organization is not in a great shape. Kyle Turris does not look like he's at home in Nashville. And I don't mean that as that's not a direct slide against Kyle Turris. He just never looks like he really settled in with this team, with the exception of Kevin Fiala getting hot. Finally, Kevin Fiala had some space on the ice to be able to do what he wanted to do. And Craig Smith's Craig Smith. Craig Smith's going to give you 20 goals. Nothing wrong with Craig Smith.
I thought that flashy gold chain was going to make him way more conducive to the big personalities of Nash Vegas.
Because we never started calling him Mr. T like we should have.
You're right. We may have dropped the ball on this one. We could have inspired Kyle Turris to a whole new level, but for Turris,
I pay the fool who pays me the next 5 years.
Which is going to be the Ottawa Senators.
That's how we hope so.
It's going to be Ottawa. Real quick, before we hit the first break, yep. Boyle, the other night, first of all, I love the eclipse. That's what I'm calling it. When he goes to the front of the net, it is a total eclipse. There is no other way you can describe it. The one photo you have seen so far, he is at least twice the size of the goaltender he is screening, and he has him absolutely 100% totally eclipsed.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, Inigo Montoya, it's perfect.
I like Boyle being here. Is he the missing piece for this franchise to win anything? No. He is a complementary piece that will assist the Predators get to whatever level they are going to get to as far as leadership, as far as, this is something I've not heard anybody talk about. Everyone talks about, he goes to the front of the net, he scores on power play goals. My God, if you looked at the experience this man has when it comes to playing in the postseason for the New York Rangers, for the New Jersey Devils, for Tampa Bay, this guy has played against every significant center in the NHL at some point in time over his career in the NHL playoffs. There is so much wisdom he can bring to the rest of the group. Plus, he's a pro's pro. That interview on the bench the other night after the game, he hit every spot you would check off in a box. He praised his teammates, he waved to the crowd, he thanked them for coming out tonight, and he was exceptionally professional when it came to that interview. So far, Brian Boyle, I think, is
as
a
advertised.
Great complimentary piece to this team, but not the ultimate piece.
No, that's exactly what you're doing when you're bringing in Brian Boyle. You look at the teams that he's been brought in on. He's been brought in on teams that want to take the next step. Tampa Bay knew what they were doing bringing in them, because they had a bunch of guys like Stamkos and Johnson, guys who are not very physical centers. So you
those
have to
guys
have someone,
good?
Oh, they're pretty good.
Are they okay? They're in the East. I don't follow.
They're only 15 points ahead of the entire NHL right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
they've scored 6 goals 13 times this year.
I see. That's impressive.
That's very impressive. Without Brian Boyle, of course.
Their power play, is it
I believe
it okay?
It's pretty good. They got this guy named Kucherov. Might want to, you know.
Oh, all right. Kucherov, sorry. Yes. That's enough goofing. Continue with your point about Brian Boyle.
Well, he's a guy that's something different. I mean, you can now put Ryan Johansson against somebody else, and when you're looking at this playoff format, you know who's staring the other side of the ring from you, waiting for you in the next round. It's like the old pride fighting Grand Prix. You know who's waiting for you in the next round. It's probably going to be Winnipeg, because let's be honest, Winnipeg's going to tear up whoever they get.
You don't want to be that Pacific Division wildcard team that's going to come over to Winnipeg and get absolutely blown out. Don't forget, as Winnipeg is inching closer and closer to a division title, which would, right now, they're tied for number one in the Western Conference with Calgary and San Jose, so home ice not clearly in anyone's favor at this point. But when you look down at the records, Winnipeg is 21-7-3 at home. We know how dominant they are on home ice. And just one more caveat, when you're looking down that long hallway and seeing Winnipeg waiting for you, well, Brian Boyle going up against Wheeler could be another one of the small things that hasn't really been discussed and fleshed out yet as far as how much Boyle can shut a guy down defensively.
It's like a Greek naval battle in front of the net between Boyle and Bufflin. I'm looking forward
to that. They're going to kill each other.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
They're absolutely going to kill each other.
On pay-per-view!
As long as there's no bad weather in the area, of course, and it gets put on Telemundo. Dan Bradley's going to be in studio with us the entire hour here. Mastrodamus is coming up in the second period. Of course, we'll go back. We'll talk a little bit about what happened in Montreal. I want to get Greek goalies. That's Mastrodamus' thought on what happened the other night. And, of course, we'll revisit P.K. Subban and the biting incident from the last trip out to Vegas. And we'll talk all things Las Vegas versus Nashville Predators tonight out in Vegas. You know the Ultimate Predator. He's here to get you all fired up for tonight's action.
You know, Charlie, Predneck Nation, as I sat around trying to figure out exactly what I was going to talk about this morning and how to address what's going to happen tonight in Vegas, where I hope that everything that happens in Vegas comes home to Nashville and we pack up another 2 points, it kind of dawned on me as I was doing some digging and doing some research, and God forbid a masked madman do some actual research and homework and prep work, but what I was seeing was a lot of doom and gloom again. And I understand that everybody wants to win every game. I get that. I understand that people think we're lacking this one superstar that's going to carry us over the top, throw us over his shoulder, and just march us into the promised land. But I was doing some thinking, and I've been listening to some radio commentary, and I've been listening to our guys talk here at the Renegades of Puck. I've been listening to others speak. I've been reading comments and reading articles, and when is the last time that a rental player has done something like that and carried this team to a Stanley Cup? Never. When is the last time a team took on a veteran player that they thought was going to be a tremendous asset for that team and traded away young talent that they weren't quite sure if they were going to be NHL ready and when they would be NHL ready? If I recall, Charlie, and correct me if I'm wrong, that's how we acquired Philip Forsberg. And we never let the Caps fans let that one go. So what I'm saying is this. I'm not ready to mortgage the farm for a rental player that could potentially bounce us out of the playoffs. The last rental player we got was Peter Forsberg, and we got lost, and we got denied, and we were bounced by the Sharks in round one. We won the President's Trophy last year and didn't make the Cup Final. 2 years ago, we clawed and scratched and were the last team in as a wild card, seeded number 18, number 16, and we made it to the promised land. What I'm saying is I am not ready to throw it all away on the hopes that one player, that Stone, that Duchesne, that Panarin, is the one hope that they are the Obi-Wan Kenobi that is going to lead us to the promised land, for they are our only hope. What I'm saying is don't lose what we have. And I know I am in a small, small minority by saying don't trade Fiala, but don't trade Fiala. Don't trade Tolvanen. Get me to the playoffs. And when this team rises to the playoffs, This team knows how to fight, how to claw, and how to scratch. When we have to earn it, we earn it. Tonight is just a speed bump. All we need are a few more wins to secure a playoff spot, and we are in. At that point, we control our destiny and nobody else. Do not mortgage the farm, Pred fans. Relax, take it easy. When this team is on fire, you have seen how good they can get. So let the slow burn happen, and let's ignite a flame. And when that flame rises, no team, and I mean no team, will be better than the Nashville Predators. And this is the year that we hoist the damn thing. Smashville, holla if you hear me. That's the bottom line, because the ultimate Predator said so.
This is Colton Sissons of the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio.
Welcome back in Predneck Nation Radio. That's right, it's the Predneck Takeover. It's not at 5 a.m. It's at whatever time we want it to be. That's what it means to take over a radio station. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. That's right, my brain hurts. In kind of a saucy mood today. And I've called in some of the legendary Renegades of Puck to help us out today. Dan Bradley in studio with me for the rest of the show. And on the phone right now, he's the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation. You can also find him in the second period of Predneck Nation Radio all season long. He is on Twitter at GreekGoalie35, a man so far ahead in the future. He's going to tell you everything that's going to happen tonight in Vegas between the Nashville Predators and the Vegas Golden Knights. He is Mastradamus. How are you doing today, my friend?
Charlie, always a pleasure talking to you. And Dan, is it 2015 all over again? Good to hear your voice, sir.
Good to hear you, sir.
Mastradamus, let's go right back to the other night. What we saw against Montreal, the Nashville Predators, they needed a win. They needed an opportunity to let everybody take a deep breath and stop with so much frustration so everybody could stop questioning every aspect and element of this Nashville Predators franchise. What we saw on home ice against Montreal the other night was Pekka absolutely outstanding, especially in the second period. 34 out of 35 for the game, but 21 of those saves came in the second period. The only goal he gave up was a redirect in the low slot off of Ham Hughes' soft defense. Overall, talk to me about Pekka Rinne and talk to me about the Preds getting themselves a victory the other night on home ice.
Well, it seemed a lot like the early season Preds in October, where they probably maybe didn't deserve to win the game, but thanks to hot goaltending from Pekka Rinne, some timely goal scoring, they end up beating Montreal Canadiens 3-1, and a game again that up until that Brian Boyle goal, you're thinking, here it goes again. Crappy power play in the third period leads to the Canadiens getting the advantage, tying the game up. They're going to lose another game. But again, Pekka Rinne stood on his head, particularly in that second period where he had zero help whatsoever, keeping the Preds in it, end up going to third period and actually winning a third period for a change here as of late, and getting a victory. So all props go to Pekka Rinne, though. But again, this doesn't solve everything that we've been talking about for the last several weeks with the Preds. It's, again, an early season type win where Rinne carried the team to victory.
As an avid follower of the New York Rangers, Greg, Charlie called Brian Boyle Eclipse. I did a little bit of research on this. Legendary actor Frank McRae played a character named Eclipse in the classic movie Lockup. He played a rather large guy that was part of the infamous football scene. Frank McRae actually went to TSU, by the way, Charlie. Did you know that?
No.
Oh, cool. Yeah, he played for the Bears, too.
Always hot taking me.
Yeah, there we go. So your opinion on Brian Boyle so far, is he just what the doctor ordered for this team that frankly is a bit undersized, especially when you look down the pipe and see what's coming towards them?
Well, absolutely. When you look at teams like Vegas and Winnipeg, even again in St. Louis, especially with the way they've been playing here as of late, you need some size down the middle of the ice. Yes, Johansson brings that size. He's not always that physical, but again, he brings some size. But you go after that, Kyle Turris, not a big guy. Nick Bonino, more of a defensive type guy, which I'm fine with. And then, of course, you have a smorgasbord of centers after that with, you know, is it Sissons, is it Yarncroke, is it Boyle, is it all kinds of guys, Hartman, Grimaldi, all kinds of guys that have played center before. But he's a piece that they needed. I would compare it, if I'm so bold to say, as a Paul Gostad type deal where he's a nice depth piece you add in there. He's a big center, which the Preds didn't have before. They needed a left-handed centerman. They got that with Paul Gostad. You give up a second-round pick for him, so you give up some assets at least to bring him in. But he's definitely a need, and people think they overpaid for it. But based on their need and absolutely what they needed, some help on the power play, some size up front, to help detract some of the Winnipeg and some of the Vegas type bigger guys out there. It's exactly what they needed. And second round pick, I'm totally fine giving up a second round pick for a rental with the caliber and the abilities that Brian Boyle brings to the ice.
Mastrodamus, the power play, of course, has not been very successful. Still ranked 31st out of 31 clubs in the NHL. People had a chance to at least take a deep breath with PK Subban getting a power play goal the other night. But you and I have been discussing it for quite some time, and I gave you a bit of an assignment the other day to go really deep into the Kevin McCarthy coaching this power play and what you think is going on behind the scenes. I know you've come up with some pretty interesting thoughts and a pretty good theory. Why don't you talk to me about all that, and then we'll piggyback off of what you say.
Well, again, Laviolette, you know, it's not a secret that he's had a shelf life when it comes to his NHL coaching jobs. He started out with the Islanders for 2 years, got him to the playoffs both years, but he was GM'd by Mike Milbury, so that tells you all you need to know about what his future looked like after that. He goes to Carolina, wins the Stanley Cup, makes the playoffs again. Owner Peter Carmanos, not too fond of him as a person, so he gets rid of him, you know, partway through a season. He goes to Philadelphia, perfect Philadelphia-type coach, in your face, play with jam and just cursing left and right. That's the kind of guy Philly's like. And he takes them to the Stanley Cup final. Then, of course, Paul Holmgren says, that was the worst off-season or going into the season camp that I've ever seen before. They lose 3 games. And what's equivalent to basically the first quarter of week one in an NFL season, he fires Peter Laviolette 3 games into the season. So Laviolette up to that point, again, since his time with Carolina, has had Kevin McCarthy as his right-hand man. For 15 seasons of coaching, he's had Kevin McCarthy. Well, we saw what happened when Housley goes to Buffalo. The Preds' power play, at least just by comparison with this Predators roster, let's not go back to Philly and Carolina. There's different rosters, so you can affect power play time that way. With the Predators, they've been at 19%, 20%, 16%, and 19% as far as getting power play goals. This season, they're at 13%. That's a problem to have. And I think part of the reason why we have not seen that old school Laviolette, I know he's calmed down a little bit. We have not seen that fire out of Laviolette is, quite frankly, I don't think he can show that fire to the players when he's basically falling on his sword for his assistant coach, Kevin McCarthy. Everybody knows the power play is terrible. Everybody's saying he needs to go, but it's his guy for 15 years. He's not going to let him go. So how can he possibly chew out the players when he's sitting there holding on to a guy that's basically dead weight at this point? So I think that's my theory behind McCarthy not being let go. I think Laviolette is holding on to him just because he's his guy and he's not going to let go of him, particularly midway through a season.
Some of that, don't you think, is man management? Because you can't get a team this fired up over and over and over again when you've played this much hockey over the past few years. The Predators have won a playoff round going back, what, the last 3 years now? They know what playoff hockey is. And I guess getting up, you know, maybe it may be a bit too much to ask for this team to get up on a Tuesday night against Calgary every single night. But that being said, I mean, do you think the guys like Kyle Turris, I'm picking on Kyle Turris this episode if you've just tuning in. But guys like Kyle Turris, Craig Smith, do you think they're giving enough right now? And if not, what's got to change? What's got to get better?
Well, quite frankly, when Craig Smith stepped up his game when there were the injuries, he got up on the first line with Johansson. So part of that could be, well, Johansson's making Craig Smith a lot better, and Craig Smith stepped up and scored some goals. And, of course, ever since Arvidsson and Forsberg moved back, Craig Smith has been almost irrelevant in this lineup. Kyle Turris, yeah, I get it. Okay, he was gone for a month this season, and he hasn't really found his game. It's like, you've been back for a couple weeks now. You should have your legs under you, and you should be able to be contributing, and he's not doing that right now. He looked a little bit better the other night against Montreal. But simply as a number two center, that's not good enough. Charlie pointed out earlier, that's what Nick Bonino was brought in for. And we realized very quickly, Bonino is not a number two center. He was largely hidden behind the stalwarts of Crosby and Malkin up in Pittsburgh. He was playing third line center minutes. Kind of reminds you a lot of somebody the Preds are still paying for this season, Victor Stahlberg. We saw him as a third line winger in Chicago. We're like, well, if he's getting this many goals as a third line winger, what happens when we put him at the first or second line? Well, we saw what happened. He's a buyout. So not always the best moves, but Kyle Turris, yeah, we're locked into this long-term contract with him, but he's got to show a lot more for me if we're going to keep him around.
Victor Stahlberg.
I was going to say, the show's over. That's it. I'm going to play the closed music now. We're going to go home because you bring up Victor Stahlberg.
You want to take a guess?
Everything down.
You want to take a guess what country he's playing in right now?
No.
Switzerland.
Switzerland is correct.
Oh, Mostradamus, a man so far ahead in the future, he even knows about Victor Stahlberg. By the way, the day I was at the press scrum with David Poyle and he announced he was buying out that contract, there was, and this is very rare, an actual audible snicker from several people in the media gallery about Victor Stahlberg's contract being
bought
out.
That's right there with Jason Arnott when they announced he wasn't going to be back as captain. There was kind of a smattering of applause in 2010.
I don't know. There was kind of a bit of applause. Yeah, you're right. I'm just going to stop right there.
People.
We are fantastically nice people here. That's the rap on this city, Dan. That's why all the tourists come here, isn't it?
I guess.
Isn't it? Mostradamus, let's get into Vegas, all right? Last time the Preds went out there, and this has been one of the friendlier opponents for the Nashville Predators as far as getting points. They've picked up four out of a possible four, and tonight, the last regular season meeting between these two clubs. Last time we went out there, though, we had an incident that we have to talk about that I'm sure is going to be brought up quite a bit tonight, and there may be some carryover. What I'm talking about there is Ryan Reeves chasing P.K. Subban all over the ice again at some point during the game. But last time we were out there, we saw P.K. Subban. He alleged he was bit. It looked a lot more like a fish hook that had gone wrong by P.K. Subban. But whatever happened, it got stopped. They stopped talking about it finally after about 3-4 days, but you know it's going to come up again tonight. Mostradamus, before you talk about the game itself, talk about what you might possibly expect between these couple of players tonight.
Well, it's funny how it kind of sort of went away after about a couple of days because the All-Star break happened, so everybody kind of sort of forgot about it. Me, personally, I know P.K. Subban tried his hand at, you know, being a talk show host and all that was god-awful. What he should have done, though, is do a little bit of who fought Jerry Lawler back in the day? The actor, but I'll
Kaufman?
Go back to. Thank you, Andy Kaufman. Andy Kaufman. He should have gone out with like a cast on his right hand, just to rib on himself and rib on Belmar for the whole incident, because that would have been just poetic justice. But
and they grab the mic and talk about how everybody in Vegas needs to learn what a bar of soap is, and.
Andy, never rest. But, yeah, that's an incident. I don't think there's going to be too much happening from it. Ryan Reeves, of course, is going to be a guy that's going to probably chase him around again and talk trash to him the entire game. So we'll see what happens with that. But Belmar, by all accounts anyway, he's an upstanding guy. Again, who knows what actually happened to me. Honestly, obviously, Subban ripped at his mouth over there. But you also see Belmar kind of grab his hand into him a little bit further, and it sure looks like he bit down on him. Why else would he be bleeding? But that's another, again, we can go on that for hours basically about what happened. But I don't see anything going on tonight that carries over from that meeting.
We all know it was a blade job gone wrong. He was looking to go ahead and get that color a little bit higher, but he accidentally reached into that pocket, grabbed that blade, the corner stuck him in the finger. Next thing you know, we've got a biting incident out there in Vegas. Mostradamus, quickly, preview Vegas tonight. UC Soros 2-0 on the season against the Vegas Golden Knights in the first game, 23 out of 24. In the second game, of course, 47 out of 48. He's played some mighty impressive hockey as of late, and I think there's no reason why the Nashville Predators shouldn't start UC Soros tonight in Las Vegas. Your thoughts and your quick preview of tonight's game.
Absolutely. I think they go with Soros tonight. The caveat to that is Tuesday night they play at Dallas. Soros has played better against Dallas than Rene has historically, but I think Soros, why not? He's played incredibly well against them the first two times he's played them this season. And Vegas right now, struggling team. They're in the middle of a stretch of 8 out of 9 home games. This is game 4 at home. They've lost the first 3 in regulation. So they're struggling. They've lost 5 in a row at home overall as well. So the Preds should be able to pounce on them early on, get some doubt in their mind again. I mean, Vegas, obviously we saw last season, not a whole lot of history, but last season at home, they were a pretty damn good home team. Whether it's intimidating, whether it's everybody getting drunk and hammered the night before in Vegas and they're not playing well against Vegas the following day, whatever the case is, Vegas not the same home team here as of late, losing 5 straight before that. I think they were 16-4-3 before this last stretch of home games. But I fully expect Nashville to come out, play strong. I mean, it's going to need a great effort again from Soros. Let's not sugarcoat it. Soros is going to have to play big again tonight if they're going to have any chance of winning this game.
And you mentioned it, the loss of every game on this homestand, that's 3 of them, 4-3 against Columbus, 5-2 against Arizona, and 6-3 versus Toronto. They've lost 5 straight home games, and they won't play again until Monday when they will head off to Colorado. So for Vegas, expect to see a team that is desperate, that is hungry, and they will come at you with all 4 lines because, as we know, whenever you look at the stats, it's not highly impressive. Only 2 players are at the 40-point mark, and then you have 4 players in the 30-point range and 4 players in the 20-point range. It's really really not very impressive when you look at this team statistically. Marc Gessault at 19 goals. He's the one that's leading the team with 40 total points. Tuck has 16. Carlson has 18. Pacioretty with 16. Power play is where you got to watch out. Some of these guys can be dangerous. Marc Gessault with 5 power play goals. Carlson 5 power play goals. And Riley Smith 4 power play goals on the season. So don't take them lightly, but an opportunity to go into Vegas tonight and sweep the regular season series, which would also, Greg, be a great confidence builder if these two teams were perhaps to meet for a best of 7 here about 2 months from now. Mastrodamus on Twitter, at GreekGoalie35. Look forward to talking to you Tuesday when we'll be recapping this game in Vegas and previewing yet another matchup against the Dallas Stars. On Twitter, at GreekGoalie35, you can hear him all season long right here in the second period of Predneck Nation Radio, and he is a man so far ahead in the future. He's told you everything. It's going to happen tonight in Las Vegas. Thank you so much, my friend.
Charlie, always a pleasure. Dan, good to hear your voice, sir. And again, congratulations on your engagement.
Thank you, sir.
Mastrodamus, look at him, man.
Breaking news.
He covers all of the bases right there. Man, the Renegades are all settling down.
I know, right?
You realize
all this? All my rowdy friends have settled down, you know?
Oh, man, that sounds like a country song right there.
Afraid so.
It's already been done.
Hi, this is Ryan Ellis of the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio.
Welcome back in Predneck Nation Radio. Mastrodamus in the second period. The Ultimate Predator got you all fired up. And legendary Renegade of Puck Dan Bradley's been in studio with me the entire hour, helping me out today. And it's fantastic to have Dan back in studio. Wish his schedule allowed for him to be in more often. But anytime we can get him on, we're always going to take advantage of that. And maybe even for a playoff preview or something like that down the road, we'll get you on for a full episode one more time.
I made the mistake of taking the man's money.
You did. Well, listen, I don't blame you. I see that fresh new ride you got out there. The man's money's taking pretty good care of you.
This is no joke. Yeah, I got. She came home with some interesting news one day, and I definitely responded, you know, as any man would, like, oh, wait, we're family vehicle now. Yeah, let me go down to Crest.
Look at you. That's a fantastic looking vehicle, and been following along with everything going on, and we all have, Nan, and we're just happy to have you back, even if it's just for a segment here and there. And
you have put out the distress call today, you know, saying it was going to be moved to noon, because you're the most methodical and just like clockwork person at this studio. It doesn't matter what chair you sit in, what headphones you have, we're going to get A+ Charlie Sonny.
I'm a machine.
You know,
I'm a machine.
You're a million percent, not 100%.
I've got to tell you, Dan, without having with doing all of the work myself nowadays, because remember, we used to have Brian Robertson as our producer back in the day. Brian Robertson, unfortunately, moved on to another part of his career and his life. And so I've taken over as the full-time producer. I'm also the host. I'm also the writer of the show, the promoter of the show, and running the studio at the same time. So I've pretty much worn myself out already.
Writer, booker, and talent, huh?
Yep, which means I'm putting myself in the main event, and I'm carrying the strap.
So speaking of, just real quick, about just like carrying that heavy weight on them, let's just take a look at the Golden Knights of their schedule since the All-Star break. They've allowed 5 goals, 3 goals, 2 goals, 3 goals, 3 goals, 4 goals, 5 goals. They haven't allowed, they're getting 6 goals against the Maple Leafs. They're getting shelled every single night, whether it's goaltending or allowing too many good shots. So Gerard Gallant played the S card, the soft word. Called his team soft in the post-game media conference on Tuesday. Clearly it was effective because they went out and lost 6-3 against the Maple Leafs. But I'm wondering now, just with Vegas, we talked about this during the break, and Robbie Stanley suggested that he play Saros. Greg says play Saros. You say play Saros. Nice pun there. But that's a perfect kind of game to play against a team that may be a little bit fragile right now, gripping their stick a little bit too tight. Oh, here comes this 5'10" backup goalie. We can just throw 40 shots in his stomach and we're going to lose. That's the perfect game to play against a team that may be a little bit fragile right now.
And Vegas started out the season with a bit of a Stanley Cup final hangover. They were awful the first 6 weeks of the season. It looked like they weren't going to be competitive whatsoever out there in the Pacific. And then suddenly, 3 different teams in the Pacific Division all took off at the same time. Remember, Anaheim was competing for the division lead around Thanksgiving. And now Anaheim, of course, has fallen so far out of it. And, well, good for them. That's where they belong. But you saw Calgary, San Jose, who we knew was going to get there. They took a little little time to gel. And then Vegas really took off and got themselves up to 66 points. And it was a lot of that was based on what they were getting done at home. But Dan, it has been a struggle. Five straight home losses, the coach calling them soft, and a backup goaltender. And we know UC Saros is a future starter, but for right now, he's still a backup goaltender. Came into your building last time and just shut you down and made it look as easy as can be. So I expect UC Saros to get that start tonight. Anytime a coach starts throwing away the soft word, you've got to wonder what kind of performance you're going to get. Are you going to get a performance where Ryan Reeves comes out and tries to drop the gloves on the first shift to try and spark his team? Or are you going to get a night where the guys are so amped up and overly aggressive that we see stick infraction after stick infraction until the Nashville Predators actually get their power play going in a positive direction? And
I know, it must be
the medication. I'm getting ahead of myself. But it's one of those nights where the Vegas Golden Knights could get themselves too amped up if their coach is calling them soft, and the more physical players could go out there, and that could cause them to make a lot of mistakes.
And I really don't want Nashville to counter with this by playing guys that, frankly, shouldn't even be playing with a hockey stick.
Don't put Cody McLeod on the ice tonight.
I want to see Rocco.
I want to see Rocco each and every time. Don't tell a man to buy a house and then don't let him clock in
for
work.
Thank you.
You know, he's young. He's hungry. He has the perfect mentor in Victor Arvidsson on this team. What, an undersized guy who goes after it 100 miles an hour at all times? That sounds like the perfect player for Rocco Grimaldi to be around and to emulate. And Rocco Grimaldi has some upside and ability. In the game the other night, his speed causes problems. His hard forechecking causes issues for these other teams.
And you can put him next to a veteran center like Bonino or Brian Boyle, and where he doesn't have to be the guy who's, you know, taking all the abuse in front of the net. It's a perfect solution for him to get some quality minutes out there. And I was a bit disgusted when the whole "you could buy a house here" comment, and, oh, by the way, we have McLeod back.
Yeah, that bothered me quite a bit. And you look, Mika Silomaki skating the other day, he's still on injured reserve, but if he does come off of injured reserve, as we expect he will at some point, that means somebody else is about to lose a roster spot. Now, there could be some moves made up to the trade deadline that free up an additional space, but Mika Silomaki, I know that people like him quite a bit. He's expendable. He's exactly in the same position Gabriel Bork was a couple of years ago, which is someone you want to cheer for, you like to cheer for. Sometimes he does really neat things out there on the ice, but overall, the Preds have 12 more of those guys.
Yeah, it's the guy that they've drafted for so many years when the Trotz regime was in power. Salamaki's like a Gabriel Bork with a little bit better hands and a little bit bigger, but yeah, you're right. It's pretty much the same type of character there. Don't forget Freddie Gaudreau on a two-way contract.
True.
I mean, he's out there as well. And it's nothing personal against Cody McLeod. He's a fine guy. I'm glad he's back in Nashville because it seemed like the way they were talking about it, he was like the team dad. You know, and I'm all for him being here close to his family too.
Let me put it into wrestling parlance right here.
Because we don't do that around here.
Never. If HBK needed Diesel to get his smile back, then does Ryan Johansson need Cody McLeod to keep his smile? Just something to think about, because for whatever reason, Ryan Johansson sure looked and sounded like the happiest guy on the franchise about Cody McLeod coming back.
Yeah, never mind the fact that Victor Arvidsson's having a historic pace. Never mind that Philip Forsberg can do things with a hockey stick and a puck that I can't do with an orange. But no, give me back McLeod. Okay, all right, fine.
Well, you got
whatever,
him.
Man.
You got him. And I'll just say this. As the guy who won a Stanley Cup as a player twice and a coach once, Terry Crisp, who's one of the most beloved figures in this town's sports landscape's history, Terry Crisp has a great saying. Guys who are good in the locker room should only be one place, in the locker room, wearing a suit. Not in my lineup, not on my ice.
My goodness, man. For years, Terry Crisp was trying to tell us that the whole Barry Trotz dump and chase was a bad idea, but man. Yeah, he's really big. When you look back at how he was trying to teach us the game of hockey, man, we're so grateful for that guy.
We're lucky to have guys like Crispy that stick around this city. And, you know, guys like J.P. Dumont now working with the Junior Predators.
Cody Hodgson, even.
A lot of guys are sticking around. I see Victor Bartley from time to time over around Ford Ice Center getting in a few minutes and a few skates. It's amazing to see how many people have stuck around this town, Dan, and how the hockey landscape. Last weekend alone, we had the SEC hockey tournament here at Ford Ice Center. We had the NWA NHL Skills Competition and All-Star Game at Ford Ice Center and Bridgestone Arena. And we also had all of the junior hockey, the high school hockey, the beer league and rec league hockey teams. This area, you could put in a couple of more sheets of ice, which they're doing in Bellevue, which they'll continue building as they get built, as they start to get more popular, and they start to get, more importantly, paid off.
Or more malls start closing.
Or more malls.
Looking at you, Rivergate.
That's actually a perfect spot for it. But the hockey scene, since we first started hanging around, Dan, and we first started talking, and we first launched this hockey trench warfare, it's just simply incredible. And, man, I can't thank you enough for coming in studio today and talking a little pucks with me and getting everything going. And, yeah, just appreciate seeing you, man. It's great to have you.
Same on this side. This is a good deal of fun, and we'll be doing it again before too long.
I hope so. Dan, I prepared a quick something. With you coming in, you know, back in the – oh, one more thing. You know what? We're over time. You know what? You know how I feel about that? It's a takeover, people. Dan, before we get out of here today, since the first time you've seen me in studio this season, I'd like you to comment on my notebook that I use for the show now.
I mean, this looks like something you'd see at a trade show. I mean, it's got the manic handwriting in it as well, which, by the way, like, if I could pull up an Illustrator and make a font out of your handwriting, I'm pretty sure I could use that on graphics. The next Up Early graphic you want, yeah, we can definitely do something with that.
Dan Bradley, thank you so much for coming in studio.
Anytime.
I pulled one other thing out of the archives. Going back a couple of years, we used to do a lot more pre-produced pieces. It's not the rant you think it is. I'm saving that one for when that team comes back to town. I have it. It's in the folder.
Okay.
It says Dan D. Bradley goes off on Canucks.
Yeah.
I'm saving that for when the Canucks come. But I decided to bring something else out today from the archive. Our other great legendary renegade of puck, Jonathan Schaefer, he helped me produce this up a couple of years ago. It was a feature that used to take place in the Tennessean. Josh Cooper, unfortunately, had to transcribe these thoughts into a column. And we, right here, decided to take all of those columns and turn them into this. Hey, do your thing.
What up, Charlie? It's Jake. Sorry it took me a minute to get this back to you, man, but, you know, I'm not a very good employee. All right, dude, here is the raw audio for your I don't feel like doing anything segment. All right, here we go. In 3, 2.
And now, a dramatic reading of Nick Spaulding's diary.
The weather was definitely a change when we got off the plane in Southern California. We put our t-shirts back on and the sun was out. It's a long flight and it's a little tiring. It's 2 hours difference here from Nashville, so it's a little bit of an adjustment period. You're kind of hungry when you land, but you don't know when to eat. We got in at 3 p.m. local, but that's dinner time in Nashville, so you have a little snack. I had a sandwich on the plane before we landed. We beat Dallas on Monday, but there was a lot of areas we have to clean up defensively. We don't want to give up that many goals. It was a big win in the comeback and the way we stuck with it. Shea Weber got bloodied in that game. I saw him come to the bench during one of the timeouts, and he had a golf ball on the side of his nose. I think it was Marty who cut him, so I guess Weber owes him one. After the play, Shea had a couple of hits. We needed it. He boosted the team with the hits and playing physical and playing his game. That helps the team with giving us extra energy.
Just Diary of Nick Spaulding, Part 3, Young Man Goes West.
That was like a beach blanket party.
I had a sandwich on the plane before we landed.
Annette Funicello was part of the ordeal.
That's it. Predneck Nation Radio, The Diary of Nick Spaulding, Part 3. We'll bring you more of those throughout the rest of the season, especially, as Jake said, when we run into moments where I don't want to do any more work. Dan Bradley, thank you so much for coming in studio today, my friend. It was absolutely outstanding talking with you. I had a blast today. We'll be back Tuesday morning live at 5 a.m. We went to OT, but guess what? When takeovers happen, they don't have any predetermined time limit. We'll go as long as we feel we need to go. Thanks for jumping in the trench, everybody. And remember, you got the fire, you got the fury, you got the passion. You love this glorious game of hockey. Well, I know for sure you are a renegade of puck. Jump on in this trench. Buckle that helmet strap, everybody. We just got about 20 games to go in this season.